This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Okay, tell me when.
When you're ready.
the idiot you hear laughing in the background. His name's Bruce Williams.
This will be good.
And I'm Glyn Lavender. And you, my friend, you are listening to Shudders Inc. episode 565. All filler. No killer.
Yeah, that's about the truest thing you've said.
I did an intro for my first 500 episodes. I did my first intro.
Oh, I love it.
And you know what? I shit all over what you do. Yeah, so much. I think we need to have a listener vote. Yeah, who does the intro? All this WWW stuff that you come up with. And that's like the wild world of wrestling women. Did you watch? No. Have you been? I'm running the podcast. So have you been? You forgot to record last week, Bruce. So yeah, this has been 3 weeks. So have you been since we last recorded? Since I last recorded with you?
I've been good.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for coming to our TED Talk. It's about a scintillate. You've been good. I think last time we chatterooned, yeah. You were about to go out and do a live thing the next day.
Oh, the shoot for Landline.
That's the one.
Yes.
How did you go?
Mate,
I'm glad one of us is on the ball,
yeah,
mate.
That's right. It was great. Yeah, it went really well.
Excellent.
Romy, the journo that I was shooting with, she was absolutely stoked to not only, A, have my involvement, but B, with the stuff that I shot. The funny thing, I don't know if I mentioned this on the last episode, but the day before we went out, which would have been, you know, 6 hours
the
before
we
recorded,
yeah.
I'd gone to their website and found that they had a kind of a branding video for their business. Well, it's not really a business. It's a government department. And it was only a little 2.5 minute video, but I watched it. And
cost of taxpayers $4.6 million.
Yeah, exactly. but I pinched some ideas from it.
Oh, nice!
And I sent the link.
So you did some. You did something that we never do for this podcast.
That's right.
You did some research.
That's right. And so
some
I sent Romy an email and I said, "Hey, they've got this video on their website, and I thought we could pinch the underwater shot if we take the GoPro with us." So we did that. We took the GoPro with us and we snaffled the idea for this underwater shot that they had, because they had these big vats that were maybe a meter across, and they stood about a meter and a half tall, now full of water. And they were using them to grow the baby oysters. And these things start out tiny. They're like 70 microns across, you know, and a human hair is like 100 microns or 1,000 microns or something. So they're tiny to begin with. And then they transfer them.
They're not
them.
Big is what you're saying.
Exactly. They are diminutive, Glyn.
Mm.
So oui. We
and that's not French for yes either.
That's correct. So they have this process.
Actually, Bruce, it is actually French for yes, but not in the context that I was using it.
Right, okay.
Oui as in small, not as in oui, yes, madame.
I thought you were talking about diminutive. I was thinking that doesn't sound French at all.
I don't know the etymology of the word diminutive, but it does have a little bit of a petite sort of sound to it, so maybe it is French.
So anyway, they had these tubs, and they had to, you know, part of what we were there to film was this process where they open a big tap at the bottom of the tub, they let the water and all of these baby
swim out
things, yeah, flush out into a big tub or into a transfer tub, and they have them in a they basically have a mesh net that they catch them all in, and then when they want to move them into the next tank, what they do is they walk over and they turn the net upside down and then push it inside out. So then all of the baby oysters are on the outside of the mesh, as it were. And then they pour water through the mesh, and that just washes the oysters off and into the new tank.
Don't they hold on with their little tiny hands?
I guess they do.
They're like 4 micron hands.
Yeah, that's it. So what I did was I got the GoPro and I actually dunked it down under the water as
and
they
contaminated
were
contaminated all those oysters.
Well, this was where we pulled a little bit of sleight of hand, because I did ask them that in advance. I said, is there a contamination issue if I put my hand in? And they said, yeah, there is, but we can do a dummy run on an empty tank. It's, you know, no one's going to see it. So I was like, fair enough. So basically had the GoPro underwater but facing upward, so you could see the water pouring through the mesh sieve and then hitting the water that
the
was just
water.
Just above the level of which was just above the GoPro. So it looked really cool. And then I came up out of the water so that you could then see the sieve and the pouring process from above the waterline. So
yeah, very cool.
Yeah, so we had fun and we had to shoot a couple of interviews and they went really well. And so yeah, so now it's just a waiting game until the whole story is packaged together and all the editing is done, and my video contribution might only be, you know, 15
on the cutting room floor,
15% of the entire running, you know, duration of the segment. So yeah, but it was good. It was good fun.
Nice work. Good.
And you will remember
your legs and doing something different.
Exactly. And you will remember that maybe
there's no guarantee I'll remember anything, though.
A month, 6 weeks ago now, I shot some portraits on a white background, and we talked about shooting against this cream colored wall, yada yada yada.
Yes.
Well, Romy was the other person who wanted one of those portraits done. And so I said to her last week, I said, oh, look, you know, I'll bring my camera in on this day, so come prepared. And she went, yep, no worries. So, yeah, I know you said you've already got the settings now, so you should be able to just set it up and off you go. The problem
was, what'd you do wrong?
I don't know which flash I used for which position. So I just set it all up again from scratch, and it literally took me about 90 seconds to set up.
Well, the good thing is actually, when you're learning, it's good to do the whole to prove to yourself that you
absolutely
can do it again anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I went and grabbed her, and she was super busy. And I said, look, seriously, this is going to take less than 2 minutes. And she went, great, because I'm really strapped for time. I went, yep, no problem. So I walked her into the room. I said, stand right there, angle your feet this way, turn this way, you know, and boom, one shot. I said, okay, great. Now give me face, you know, square onto the camera. So I got a you know, square on headshot. And then I said, and then 45 degrees to the other side and turn your head this way. And another one. I said, you're done. Three shots, done. And she was stoked.
And she goes, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Whenever you're, as a working pro, whenever you're shooting highfalutin folk who are always time poor, the last thing they want to do is be photographed. But the guy who makes it really easy for them, if you can do their shoot in 2 minutes flat and they thought it was going to take an hour, they're saying to everyone, hire that person again. Yeah. That person's freaking made my life pleasant. You know?
Actually, slightly related to that, the day we were out doing the videoing for the landline story, we did the second interview with this guy who worked for the department. And he had to race off to a meeting at, I don't know, I think it was like 3 o'clock, and we finished filming at about 2:55. And so we said, oh, like, that's great. Thanks for, you know, spending the time with us to get it right. And he's like, yep, no problem. And off he goes, and we're packing all the stuff up into the car, and I've suddenly gone, oh, crap. And Romy's gone, what? And I said, we didn't get a still portrait of him. And she went, oh, damn. She said, if I give him a call and see if he hasn't gone into his meeting yet, do you reckon we could do something quickly? And I went, yeah, absolutely. So we're driving through their car park, and she's ringing him, and she's going, oh, look, I'm so sorry. Have you gone into your meeting yet? And he's gone, no, I'm just about to walk in. And she's gone, we forgot to get a still portrait. If we meet you now, can we do something really quick? And he's like, yep, absolutely, no worries. So we've driven around to where he was standing. He was waiting to walk into the building.
You leaned out the window, took the shot, and kept on driving. Whilst driving, you took the portrait whilst driving past him. Bruce, so, you have escalated my opinion of you like you would not believe.
I would not believe. So anyway, we've pulled up. I've jumped out. I've got the 28-75 on because I figured, you know, I wasn't going to change to either of the other two lenses anyway. And so we're in the car park, for crying out loud. And there's these very unflattering buildings, and and Romy's going, my God, where are we going to shoot this? I said, I've got it. It's fine. Leave it with me. And so I've called him and I've walked over. There was a big tree and I basically looked at the building that was behind it and tried to find the least ugly aspect of that building. And I've got him to stand in the shade of the tree and just gone, yep, this is it, and gone 75 mil, taken a step back, chung, 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 fired off three or four frames, and I've done a quick preview on the camera and gone, yep, got it. And I've shown it to him, and he's like, oh, wow, that's great. And then I've shown it to Romy, and she's like, how the hell did you see that?
It's like, you know, yeah, that's why they pay me the small buck.
That's right. That's why I'm out here shooting for free. But, but it was good. Funny. It was good fun, and I'm you know, enjoying it all. So,
yeah. Can I just say though,
yeah,
in that surroundings,
yep,
if you had your 200 mil lens on,
yeah,
everywhere's usable.
Yeah.
So that's the advantage. Why would I use a big lens when you can use a 28-75? You can find 3 foot by 3 foot of wall, yeah, would make a perfect background with a 200 mm lens.
Yeah.
Where with 75, you need something 10 or 15 feet wide that's usable.
Right.
Yeah. It just makes life so much easier.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, yeah, my workshops I do for Bright Festival of Photography was a great photos in locations is all around. Yeah, shooting 200, 300, 400, 600 mil focal length portraits.
Wow.
Because I can use a 3 foot piece of background anywhere and get a solid studio backdrop.
Yeah, you know? Right.
So if imagine if the scene where you actually did shoot him, and well done for finding what you did, yeah, but if all you had was those buildings, your 200 mil would have got you the shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's such a narrow angle of view behind him, yeah, you could have found a workable space,
yep,
anywhere. So next time you're under pressure, just remember that. That'll save your life. That'll,
okay,
that'll give you that next skill set again.
Yep.
On top of, I've got the eye to see something good in an area that's not very good. Yep. That's a great thing to have. But then to be able to see a usable shot when nothing's good, when there is no saving grace, there, yeah, is no benefit that will make your life a lot easier. So great stuff, mate.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see when it comes out. I'll definitely pretend to watch it.
Yeah, I'll let you know because Romy will, yeah, let me know when it's going to air. So yeah.
Oh, awesome! Awesome, yeah, stuff. So that's all the shooting you've been doing the last 3 weeks?
I'm trying to think of have I been – I kind of get the feeling I have been shooting something, but I can't remember what, so I'm just going to have a look on my camera. Oh, it's looking at the other memory card. Now I need to remember how to tell it. No, look at the other memory card.
Oh, man.
I'm sure there is something else that I've been out shooting. What was it? Oh, no, that was a bunch of test shots. That was me just mucking around. No, it doesn't look like I've actually been out shooting anything.
Yeah. Yeah, but you've done the good stuff, which is the,
yeah,
actual real work rather than, not making stuff up, but just doing it for your own pleasure. You actually had a task you had to, yeah, achieve, yeah, and you made it work. That's very gratifying. You, oh, know?
Totally.
And you made something happen. So well done, dude.
Thank you.
Well done indeed.
Yeah. And you, have you been shooting?
Oh, yeah, I guess I have. I mean, I did a natural light workshop on Saturday just,
yep,
gone.
Yep.
So nice. I was shooting for that. I think I took 8 shots all afternoon. 8 shots over, I think, 5 different setups.
Right.
So as is usually the case as a workshop, I'll set something up. Because it's a natural light workshop, there's no guesswork with the lighting. You can see everything you're doing. So, yeah, there's no need for a test shot per, yeah, se to, yeah, thing. So it's really just about getting your metering right. I don't need to do a test shot to know that's right, usually.
Yeah.
So for each setup, I take 1, possibly 2 shots.
Yeah.
And I think we did 5 or 6 setups. So I think I did 8 or 10 photos maybe for the whole afternoon. It was a funny one because it was one of those ones where I tell you at the beginning of every workshop, I said, look, this is what we're not going to do. We're not going to take a lot of photos. We're not going to take photos from just any old place. Yeah. We're not going to be looking through our cameras when Glenn's talking. We're not going to be taking photos when other people are shooting because you'll miss all the good stuff. You'll miss all the tips and all the nuances and all the stuff that will elevate you. You will miss.
Right.
So first setup, bang, people looking through the cameras. And so I'm just standing there. And I'm walking, blocking them so they can't see the model. And it's like, people. And they go, oh yeah, yeah, put it down. And 30 seconds later, back to their eye again.
It's almost like they don't listen to you, Glenn.
But look, and I get it. I understand the passion, and you want to get going, and you want to get into it. I have to be nice now in case any of them listen to the podcast. The difference in a centimetre in posing for me is everything.
Yeah.
The difference between having your face facing here and facing just a centimetre to the right is all the nuance I'm trying to teach.
Right.
The subtleties of difference between an okay shot and a good shot, you know. And you just miss all that sort of stuff. We, as much as we like to think we can, we humans can't multitask very well.
Right.
You know, we can't be focusing, changing zoom sizes, adjusting our shutter speeds and apertures while seeing me move a model's face 1 centimeter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we had a lovely workshop with a nice little group of kids.
Nice.
Lovely model. His name was Happy, and he was happy.
Cool.
a lovely guy I've shot once before, and just a nice guy. But I had a bit of a concern the night before. Fairly decent car crash. My poor little eldest kiddo on his learners.
Yeah.
Pulling out into a busy road and from an intersection, from like a little side road, and he's turned the wheel and waited as a few cars have gone. Then he's accelerated, turned the wheel again to turn the corner, but he'd already and we basically did a U-turn, and literally in 10 feet from the corner, up in the gutter, straight to a light pole.
Oh.
And snapped the light pole in two. And ran over about 5 feet of it. So there's 5 feet of this light pole underneath the car, and the rest of it leaning on the front of the car with all the electrical wires above us.
Yikes.
And you know what? He wouldn't have been doing, I reckon, more than 10 kilometres an hour.
What?
And the entire pole snapped in half.
Wow.
Yeah. It was just... Not my proudest parenting moment, I might say. I've looked over at him, and I've just gone... Well, there goes the car, which in hindsight, made him start crying and get all upset. And he was already pretty shook and pretty just in shock. Yeah. And then Dad's going, well, there goes the car. I just sent you a photo on your phone.
Yeah.
So imagine, this is my car where it hit the pole. We've hit and snapped a telephone, a light pole in half.
Right.
Let's have a look at the damage to the car.
The image has not come through. Said as a text?
Bizarre.
That is so bizarre. Like, it's just sitting there. It's got the thing spinning around like it's downloading something, but it's actually not getting anywhere.
How weird.
Anyway. Is it the image you put up on Facebook?
No, this is like the next day when I'm taking a photo. Now, the photo I put up on Facebook of the pole snapped in half, and this thing's splintered. There's just shards of wood all over the footpath.
Wow.
And then this pole leaning on, and then, so I get out and get him out of the car, and this lovely lady named Ruby came down from the house with the little apartment just next door, and she took him in, because my son's got autism, and he was freaking out, and he has sensory issues, and even just not, and I'm trying to make sure the car's not causing more problems, get in touch with the emergency services, making sure he's not freaking out. So she took him inside and gave him a cup of tea, which was lovely.
Oh, lovely.
And her partner, funnily enough, both have autism. So they totally got everything.
Yeah.
And so they were awesome. So the fire brigade arrived first, and they're looking at the pole going, Jesus. I said, 10 kilometres an hour. So they put the barricades up. Then the cops show up and go, Jesus. You know? I think we had the pole on the car for like 3 hours.
Wow.
Waiting for the power people to come. And then after those 3 hours, we realised the pole's not even touching the car. The pole's sort of holding itself up where it's smashed onto the ground. And it's missing the car by, it's not touching the car by about 2 or 3 centimetres.
So you could have just driven away.
Except for it's under live electricity wires and no one's allowed to go near it. But in the 3 hours, the headlights and stuff have been, the battery's gone flat. Fiery, everyone said, okay, they've turned the power off, so you can back it off now. And got to turn it on, can't turn it on. They said, "Don't worry, we've got to jump it. We'll jump it." You know? Yeah. They said, "No." They said, "Put it in neutral and we'll just push it off." And but it's modern an cars, automatic. you can't take it out of P with no power.
Yeah.
So they couldn't do that. So then we had to try and get the bonnet open and not touch the pole.
Yeah.
Because the pole, unfortunately, the bonnet's still opened even with the hood, depends on where you come from, without touching the pole. And then the power workers, they made their own jumper cables from wire that they had. They've got these knives out, they're cutting the ends off.
Hang on, we'll just turn the power back onto these cables.
they just had this massive power line wires.
Yeah.
And they're just making their own cables, and it's just... the kickstart to the thing, and I drove it away. I drove home.
No way.
It's perfectly dry. The car's got under. The biggest dent would be 2 centimetres.
Oh, really? Is that all?
There's not zero damage, but bugger all damage. Considering we snapped a pole in half and drove over it, you know?
That is crazy.
You know how panels pop out and stuff?
Yeah.
So one little panel's popped out. There's a little bit of skirting down the bottom's kind of bent out a bit.
Yeah.
One of the light covers has popped off. It broke the headlight protector, and there's a few scratches. But we drove over and snapped a pole in half. And everyone, the cops, the fire, no one could believe how little damage is done to this bloody car.
Wow.
And it's driving perfectly fine, other than it's got a bit of cosmetic damage.
How crazy. Which is,
so my, there goes the car to the kid. It's a bit disappointing that it's not. So I always get a brand new car at least, and this one's got 60,000 on the clock, so it's almost over and done with, yes. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that was a bit of excitement the night before last weekend's workshop. And what made it worse, my poor kid, he's been having a pretty hard time, and he's had to leave school because everyone's bullying him, and he's just having a terrible time. And his one great friend stopped seeing him, we wouldn't talk to him anymore, so he's lost his only friend.
How come?
Because my son's imaginary girlfriend from New South Wales, who he's never met in real life,
right,
but met online, started saying bad things about my son to his best mate, and that kid decided to believe that stuff.
What?
And so where he was going that night, he was going to a he's in an acting group, and they were doing a potluck dinner for all the people that just finished a run of a show, and they wanted him to come out, and so he's finally going to go out and see some people and hang out with people who actually wanted to be with him.
Yeah.
And crashed the car and couldn't go. And it's like, so he's crying all the way home, half because of the shock, but mostly because of the one time he's got to see someone who he likes, and he can't do that either. Oh, so
geez.
That was pretty bloody gutting as well.
Yeah.
Since 2005, Shutters Inc. has been a labour of love. But beyond the time required to produce it, there is also a financial commitment. If you find value in the podcast and would like to help keep the servers running, hit up the Patreon link, which is in the show notes. Even a couple of dollars a month will help. Much appreciated. Now, back to the podcast.
But I've been doing some club talks as well since I did one a couple of weeks ago in a place called Traralgon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a three and a half hour drive from here.
Down near Sale. Yep.
That's right. 7 hours of driving for your 1 hour talk. That took me to the lovely Chinese for dinner, though. I'll tell you, some of the best Chinese food I've had in years.
Right.
It was sizzling chicken and ginger, and it was unbelievable.
Nice.
And such a huge serving, I couldn't finish.
Wow.
Which, anyone who knows me, that's like almost unheard of. And then I did a talk on Monday, and I've just gone out to Preston Camera Club, which was good. That was a really good talk. Actually, it was a little bit of argy bargy, a little bit of dissent from the crowd about what I'm telling them,
and
mostly because I was critiquing the need for people to have their photos critiqued, critiquing people's, and I think a few of the people who are very much into their competitions felt a little bit aggrieved at that, right, which was great. So we had some robust discussions, which I always enjoy. And that's kind of what you want to have, a talk that generates conversation and interest. And, they'll never change their point of view, and I won't change mine. And they're saying, well, what should we do differently? And I'm saying, well, you know, how about you get – Club A and Club B agree that over this month they're going to shoot on a certain theme, Then at the end of that month, everyone's going to print out their photos to 8x10, meet at Club A or Club B's club rooms, put them all up like an exhibition, and then discuss them and look at them and share each other's views of the topic and why, with the challenges they faced and what they learned, and I don't know, stuff that makes you a better photographer.
Yeah.
Learns, teaches you to see better, teaches you how people overcame maybe some of the technical issues, how they overcame their ability not to see the subject that they wanted. Yeah. Just chalk photography and share the people from another club.
Yeah.
They said, oh, we have a judge. I said, yeah, so you have one person say what they think about it. That's not quite the same. Two clubs talking about what they think about stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I've got another one tomorrow night out up in the hills around the outskirts of Melbourne town.
Yeah.
Up in a township called Emerald.
Cool.
So looking forward to that because they're taking me to the pub for lamb shanks. And apparently their meal serving sizes are so damn big, so I've got me recent Chinese to compare. You know? Can't see how big these aren't lambs. These are full-bled sheep. So I'm looking forward to another. So it's, I think it's coming close to the last of my talks on my photos of shit. I don't know why I bother. I think I've got a couple more to go.
Right.
And I'm currently working on my dog car window talk.
Nice.
As funny things would have it, our regular listener, Richard Annable, someone we haven't mentioned in a long time on the show.
We have not.
Oh, I didn't know he still listened. So obviously. Sucker for punishment, still does. But he just listened to our last episode and he stopped at the traffic lights, and there on a bus stop is the advert for dog car window, you know, which inspired me to do the talk. Dog car. So he's taken a photo of it and sent it to me, which is hilarious.
I actually saw a post of Richard Annable's on my Facebook feed today, and it was him reposting. Or I think it was, you know how Facebook memories come up and you can then reshare your own post.
Yeah.
And he said, until a photo is printed,
that's right,
it doesn't really exist. And he said, quote by me in 2008, and I still stand by it. so there you go, Richard. I'm still following what you're doing.
Yeah. So we saw that, and also I should also add, I saw his recent post of faces at the roller derby that he did. He was shooting not just the people at, not just the actual
competitors,
that's the word, but people in the crowd as well. Yep. So that's a great concept, Richard. Should keep that up. That's a great idea.
And you will be happy to know, Mr. Lavender.
Will I?
You will.
There's no guarantee.
No, that's true. There is not. We spoke one or two episodes ago about this idea that you had of...
Oh, it must have been good then.
...collecting your 100 most favourite images and creating a photo book.
Yes.
Yes. I have actually collated my images together. I've actually got about 104.
Time to start culling then, isn't it?
Oh, I've already culled because I actually ended up with about 140, and I really had to be brutal because I was sitting there going... But I like all of these. And it's like, well, you've got to get this down to 100. And so I had to be really brutal and get...
But you haven't done it. You've still got 104.
Yes.
You've got to be... I'm serious. Go back and do it. Kill those four.
Yeah, but I just wanted you to know that I'm actually...
Oh, that's awesome. And you're going to do the book?
Yeah.
Oh, it's brilliant. So I'm looking forward to showcasing it when it's done. Oh, well done, matey. Yeah. That's awesome.
So I liked the idea.
And how did you find the process of... going through, working out which would make the cuts.
I was going to sit down and go through my 20,000 image catalogue. And I started doing that and just went, this is ridiculous. I'm never going to find 100 images this way.
Yeah.
And then I thought to myself, because I was starting at the furthest back in time.
Of course.
And then I thought, well, I wasn't shooting my best work then, so it makes sense to actually start from yesterday and then work backwards. And then it occurred to me, hang on, I have all the images that I love tagged as wallpaper.
Love. So, well, there you go.
So all I had to do was go and search my wallpaper tag, and boom, there's 140 images. And so then it was a case of, okay, out of these, which would I, not include? So what I did was I created a new tag called Top 100, added it to all 140 images, And then I just went through and
removed the tag off the ones.
And just removed the tag from the ones that I felt were the weakest out of the 140 that were there.
Wow.
So I'm close. I'm close to getting it down to the 100. And then I will probably, because they're all shot in RAW, and a lot of them were processed a couple of years ago and maybe even further back, I will probably reprocess them.
That's a great idea.
Because my post-processing is improving all of the time.
Yeah.
And, of course, now I have a lovely calibrated 4K monitor, so that's improved my game as well. So I'll go and reprocess those 100-odd images before I create the photo book.
That's awesome. And it'd be interesting when you're doing the post-processing whether they still hold up. Whether some images tend to fall off.
They will only improve.
Oh.
I've actually made this. I don't know if I mentioned it here. I know I mentioned it on one of my dark table videos, that I've started to not throw away my old processed versions. Because with dark table, if you're shooting with RAW, each processed or developed version simply creates a small XMP file.
Yeah. So you just get the file.
Yeah, and they're like a couple of kilobytes. They're tiny. Yeah. So
starter.
So I figure now, there's no sense to throw away those old developed versions, no matter how much I think they look amateurish and terrible.
Yeah.
If I keep them and then, create a new XMP file. And the great thing with Darktable is for each version of a RAW file that you develop, they appear in a module called the Duplicate Manager. You can actually name each version you've processed. So what I'm now doing is I'm putting a tag that says DT4.8, because that's the current version of Darktable, as the name of that developed version.
Oh, that makes sense.
As I move forward, when Darktable 5 comes out and I keep on going back and reprocessing images, I'll be able to see how my post-processing approach changes over time.
Yeah.
So as
more and more AI gets built into Darktable, you'll be able to let it do more and more of the work.
Yeah, right. Oh, speaking of AI...
I
said I had nothing to contribute to this episode, but...
Well, like normal, you know.
Yesterday, I got an email...
From?
From Affinity.
Oh, yes, Affinity Photo. Thing.
Exactly. Now, the interesting thing about Affinity Photo, I've been telling my Darktable audience for a while now, if you want a really good, worthy competitor to Potato Shop, then Affinity Photo is what you should be having a look at. And yesterday I get this email from Affinity and it says...
Answer, I'm psychic. Let me have a think. 6 months free trial.
Yes!
Yeah, I'm psychic. Look at how I ever do that. Lord almighty.
Now, I don't know if you read all of the text.
I didn't read any of it.
Oh.
I didn't get the email.
I love this. Bruce, more people than ever are talking about the different creative software options available, with many citing Affinity as the best for a pro workflow. But it can take time.
I want you to prove that statement.
Okay, wait.
Who's the many?
Doesn't matter. But it can take time to adapt working methods to new software, and potential customers have said they'd value an extended trial period to run Affinity alongside their existing creative suite.
Creative suite.
I see what you did there, Affinity.
Oh, cheeky.
Shots fired.
You better explain it for those who don't get it.
No.
There's... Adobe, Adobe, not Dobby like in Harry Potter Dobby, but a different Dobby, call theirs Creative Suite.
They do.
Yes, I saw that. I saw on Peter's Pixels,
right?
That they had the 6 months test
and
run.
What's really good is they're saying you can run all of our software, even if you've run the trial version before. We are resetting everyone's trial status, so you can run all of our software unrestricted, full capabilities for 6 months, so you can decide whether you can incorporate it into your pro workflow. And I think that's a great move on their part. And I think it's all because of this, Adobe backlash that's, been prevalent in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, the backlash has been on for years.
Well, but it has, but I think the rights
grab. Can I tell you what it really is, Bruce? You need a credit card. They take your credit card information.
Who does?
To have the trial, Affinity.
No, they do not.
They do. They take all your information.
No.
And then at the end of 6 months, they start charging you unless you cancel beforehand.
Okay. I will read you the second last paragraph.
What's it say? Go on. What's
it's
it
also
say?
Worth mentioning that this free trial has no strings attached. There's no subscription requirement, no obligation to buy at a later date. You don't even have to enter your card details to take the trial.
Well, that's all right then. Because that's the standard procedure. Is
it normally
you hope
is.
People don't remember.
Oh, of course.
I had a $1 a month subscription to a TV service for about 6 years, which I didn't even. So I'm up there. I think I got like $70 out of me over those 6 years.
72 to be precise.
Oh, dollar a month. It's just too easy to miss.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was not tempted to try it because. I'm just too lazy.
Yep.
But I thought, I almost put it in tonight's show notes to say we should recommend it to people.
Yeah, so after or during COVID, they did a 50% off sale to try and help more people, you know, just get up and running and being able to work from home and et cetera.
Which 50%? The first 50% or the second 50%?
I think it was the middle 50, mate. It was the 25 to 75% range.
Yeah.
So I bought Affinity Photo and Affinity Designer, which is their... you know, their desktop publishing app. One I didn't buy was their, I can't think what they call it now, but it's their equivalent of Adobe's Illustrator. It's like your vector graphics type stuff because that's not something I'm very strong in, so I didn't bother buying that. So, but I can only run those on my Windows system. I mean, there probably is a way to install them and get them running on Linux, but I haven't gone down that path yet.
Yeah.
So anyway. We should talk about some stuff that's on your list.
No, we shouldn't. Look how long we've been going. I'll tell you, I've been getting a lot of Facebook warnings about copyright infringements of all my stuff by Zion de Hoff Stumpf.
Who?
So if you've been getting messages from Zion de Hoff Stumpf.
Right.
Or AIBot 1967532 or AIBot 676936.
Right.
Ignore them. They're all fake.
Right. Good to know.
But just every day, multiple things from Facebook about you've breached our copyright, blah, 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 blah. Another con. I've only got, I'm not even going to, maybe I'll talk about it. There's this new camera coming out called Pixie.
Yeah. This is,
which
Pixie,
is basically,
Pixie Plus? Is that the one?
Yeah. It's a Leica clone, basically.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But with built-in RAM, by the looks of it, 32 gig of RAM to help the processors work faster inside the camera, I'm assuming.
Oh, okay.
But it's a mere $7,000 for the body.
Geez, you weren't kidding when you said it was a Leica clone.
and an extra $500 if you'd like it to be the 128 gig rather than 30 gig. 32 gig. So there's a link there if anyone wants to have a gander. I'll go, that could be interesting to look at. Oh, look at the stupid price. So that died really quickly. But I did like in the comments, I thought this was kind of good.
Right.
I don't know. Somehow, I don't think $4,500 is going to cut it at the polo grounds. Perhaps if they double the price. That's the comments. And then, and just in the other, from Sublime to the Ridiculous, there's another new camera coming out called Alice.
Right.
Alice? What Alice? The F is Alice, I hear you ask?
I love it.
Well, it's an AI-enhanced Micro Four Thirds camera that you connect to your phone.
Oh, what?
And your phone and an app on your phone basically runs the camera as AI-enhanced. So here, let me read this one bit of blurb to you, which killed the camera for me personally.
Right.
It's underpinned by powerful Qualcomm Snapdragon and Google Edge TPU processors. Edge refers to AI algorithms running on the end device rather than in the cloud, the end device being the phone.
Right.
These are tasked with optimizing color, white balance, and image brightness to automatically give the polished end image more like a computational output of a modern smartphone rather than the relatively neutral photographic representation of most dedicated cameras. So basically what it's doing is for who knows how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars is letting your phone take photos through its lens to produce phone quality photos.
Yeah.
Photos that look like from your phone.
Yeah.
Why bother putting freaking Alice on the front?
Yeah.
Just use your phone.
Yeah. It's like, and particularly given the quality of smartphone cameras today.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like they've come a long way in 10 years.
I'm thinking, okay, there's a challenge here. It's AI. Okay. So I'm going to speak into it, put Mickey Mouse in this photo. And it puts Mickey Mouse, you know.
Yeah.
The whole point of it, they reckon, is to allow content creators to go straight from the shoot to upload to social media without the need for processing.
I want to be able to shoot my loved one in front of the Eiffel Tower and tell it, remove all the other people that...
There you go. Yeah. So that's the AI you want, you know. It's like, this priest up here is annoying me. Remove his clothes at the lectern. Yeah, and let's put that on social media. Yeah, there's lots of useful stuff they could have had if you're actually using AI to its fullest.
Yeah.
But all it's doing is it's exposure, white balance, tweaking the colour. It's doing the brightness automatically, Bruce. Oh, what a concept.
What will they think of next?
So, Alice, who the F's buying Alice is my question. You know, it's like, but I'm a bit disappointed in myself, though, I have to say.
Right.
I didn't go to the comments. But I hope it does well. The more folk taking photographs, the better. What the hell? That's not a comment worthy section.
We need less people taking photos, to be honest.
Are people actually taking it seriously? Oh boy, another soon-to-be bankrupt company. That's. But it's like, I don't understand why you
Let
want
me just,
to
just clarify produce... what I meant by that previous comment. Right, when I say we need less people taking photos, we need less of the
yes,
and more people who actually care about a well-composed, well-thought-out image.
Well, see, if the AI could guide you, you know, like those photo things you put on top of your camera that helps you do lightning shots and stuff like that.
And AI Glyn Lavender in your camera.
No, move it to the bloody left. What the hell are you doing? Oh, come on. You call that a photo?
I didn't tell you to look that direction.
Did I say press the button? And it yells out directions to the people you're trying to shoot. No, stop blinking. Can you put your bloody arms down? Oh, I need this camera. I need to make this camera. But you could imagine, look, imagine if the AI was helping you, correct your horizons and work more interesting things or making suggestions. Try standing a little closer and thinking all this sort of stuff that maybe makes people take better photos of the people that are important to them or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
There's some merit in that, you know.
I was out riding my push bike yesterday with Randy, running along as we do every day, and I was thinking about the focal length of, you know, these U-Boot lenses that we have in our camera bags.
Yeah.
And thinking, that's the one area where smartphone photography falls flat. Do you think that there is any way that AI can artificially create focal length effects? Maybe not today, but do you think it'll be possible in the future?
Question without notice.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me a question at one of my talks the other night. They asked me a fairly insightful question, and I said, I'm not quite sure I'm smart enough to answer that.
Because it seems to me that is the one area where smartphone cameras just cannot hold a candle to a real camera.
But they kind of can, because I mean there's the ones with like two types, the actual proper lens, other lenses built in have some of that effect. But the problem is what the AI would need to be doing would basically be cutting out the subject from the foreground and then magnifying the background and reapplying with softening the person back. So I think yes, it could be done. Whether there'll be enough people. Here's the thing. Most people have no clue about that stuff or have no interest in it, so there's no demand to make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And photographers wouldn't take it seriously.
No.
So the people who understand it wouldn't want it. Yeah. The people who don't understand it don't want it.
Well, they don't know that they don't want it.
Yeah, but they don't. They can't see the difference.
Yeah.
Mate, look at the photos they take that I think are awesome. Yeah. And they've got no idea. You know? Every photographer on the internet is the world's best photographer based on the comments people make on them, regardless, yeah. But here's a comment that's not too bad. First there were cameras, then there were mobile phones. Then we put cameras in mobile phones so we didn't need to carry a big camera. Then someone said, let's make a thing so we could rebuild the phone to a reaffix the phone to a camera and turn the phone into an inconvenient carrying device. Which is pretty darn accurate, really. Yeah. Oh, dear. But look, that's I love that people want to innovate. I just don't understand where they how they get funding for some of this stuff, where's the real thought process behind that? Everything you just came up with them, it's a better idea,
right?
As far as AI generating more or anything we just discussed about AI guiding people to better photos,
yeah,
is a better idea than this Alice,
yeah,
and probably cheaper to manufacture. And because you're building software, not hardware. It's not going to. It's easy to update and keep upgrading as opposed to the hardware that's not.
Yeah.
Interesting thing, but yeah. Well, that's. So I love it. People trying to innovate. I just think they should do it better. So
definitely.
So my friend, there comes the end because I'm running this podcast. Remember, there goes the end of episode 565.
Excellent.
Not to be confused with 564, which probably had some useful content, but I can't. That's probably didn't. But at least this week, let's have a little recap. We talked about stuff, and then we stopped talking about stuff. So that's a good recap.
That's as concise as it gets.
Well, and accurate too, I might add. It's very, very accurate. So we shall convene again in if we remember in 2 weeks' time. If not, when you finally go, oops.
Yep, that's it.
Because school holidays end after this week, so my brain will start to function again. I spent most of the last 2 weeks just looking up dad jokes, so you know it's been there's been a dearth of good dad jokes lately. So yeah, had a bit of struggle.
Excellent.
So be well and be good.
You too, mate.
Be happy and be Larry.
Yep.
And we'll see everyone in a couple of weeks.
All right. Catch ya.
Bye all.
You've been listening to Shutters Inc. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.